Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the BBD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando. I apologize, it's taken me a couple of weeks to get a new episode up, but it's been crazy busy. It's track season, so I am just all about shot put, discus, and pretty much managing the team. But joining me this week is my good friend, OCW colleague, Adam Michaels. Adam, how you doing?
All right, John, and I guess I have to take some responsibility for the tardiness of the podcast, because you asked me last week, and unfortunately couldn't squeeze it into the old schedule, and I apologize for that.
That's all right.
Happy to be here now.
All right. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, life happens.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, man, I've been just so busy between track and, you know, the shoot job and other things going on, which one of those we will talk about, the big 10th anniversary show for OCW, which was just a weekend ago on the 16th of March, but more on that in a little bit. So, shall we take a trip down memory lane?
Sure.
Shall we get in the DeLorean and rev it up to 88 miles per hour, Doc?
One of my favorite movies, so yeah.
All right.
Any reference to that is a good one.
All right. So, shall we tell the folks at home how you got involved in pro wrestling, if you will?
Sure. Oddly enough, I was in college. I went to Otterbein, now university. It was not at the time. But I had a pro wrestling talk show on their college radio station. And by chance, a certain person had called in just a few times. And that would be the person sitting to my right, Mr. John Orlando.
Now, my question was it true that I was, like, one of only a few callers? Is that true?
Well, the radio station was only 28 watts, so we were lucky if people down the street could hear it, let alone, you know, people in the dorm rooms. But nonetheless,
do you know, as a side note, have they upped the wattage now that they're in that new building? Because they have a new building and everything down there on campus.
Yeah, I don't know. I know they have, like, a new frequency because of this, that, and the other.
Yeah, because isn't it 97.5 or something?
Something like that now. Okay. And they're not the Rock anymore, because when the Blitz changed to the Rock, they sent them a cease and desist letter, and then the Rock turned back to the Blitz merely like 4 months later, so it was all for naught. But no, as far as the strength of the signal, or I can't speak to that. But so that's kind of how it started, and then it turned out that you and I actually lived within like a stone's throw of each other. That was what was the creepiest about it.
Is
because we were talking on the phone, and I don't know how it came up, but I was like, you know, where do you live or whatever, because we were going to meet for something. And you said, where do you live? And I was like, good God, I mean, I can walk to your house. That was so weird.
Yeah, the thing was, I remember why I called. I called because at that particular time, and I know this is probably going to get some boos at home, but I broke in to wrestling. I honed my skills working backyard companies, backyard promotions. And I think I called you about it, mm-hmm, to talk to you about it, maybe getting a free plug on the radio show or whatnot. And yeah, my townhouse apartment that I was renting with D.A. Deadly, he and I lived literally like a block over from you, and it was weird.
Yeah, and it's funny you say I called to promote the show, but again, we've already established that only, what, within 2 square miles people could hear it. But nonetheless,
yeah, there was no, like, there was nobody, like, absolutely clamoring to hear anything. And plus, too, when I think about it, the promotion was in Youngstown.
Yeah,
who's going to drive 3.5 hours to Youngstown? Oh, to be young and stupid.
Yeah, but you did have it on the local Columbus cable access channel at the time.
Well, that's right, I did have
it. So,
there was
a place to see it, it's just, you know, like I said, I don't know how many people that we could actually reach were into it whatsoever. But like I said, nonetheless, that's how you and I kind of hooked up. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, I kind of used you to get into wrestling, because you found your way into, I believe, FIW at the time.
Yep.
And then they were looking for a commentator. And yeah, I don't know if I came to you or you came to me that said, hey, you know, they're looking for somebody to do this.
I think I came to you.
Yeah.
Because it was, again, and Big White and I talked about this, and there'll probably be more hate tweets, if that's such a thing, because I'm going to mention Drew Hansen's name again. But
I'll probably take him down.
Yeah. He'll tweet nasty things and then, like, take them down, which, again, I'm no master of Twitter, but I didn't know you could do that. But I digress. I came to you because we were booking Endgame.
Yes.
Which literally was also Endgame for FIW. How fitting. And they were doing the match with Drew Hansen and Shank Dorsey, and I had went to Mark Stone and said, look, we can't have Drew Hansen commentate and then go wrestle. That's just stupid. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
I have this dude, a buddy of mine, who would be perfect for it. He's a broadcasting guy from Otterbein, blah, blah, blah. And Mark was sold. And if you remember, we had to go out to Sabre Drive.
Oh, yeah.
In
I
Hansburg.
Do. I remember. More than once.
Yeah, D.A. Deadly came, too, that one time, the first time, right?
Yeah.
And I love D.A. to death, but he choked miserably
yeah,
in that
yeah.
audition. He choked miserably. He was, like, all trying to be prim and proper. And the funny part was, like, Mark had told me later, he goes, I didn't want him to be prim and proper. I wanted him to be the snarky, smart-aleck son of a bitch that he had been on,
right?
You know, before. And I'm like, yeah. And I don't know. He just got, I don't know. I think he bought into the hype that, oh, my God. He's a wrestling promoter, you know,
and who knows if that would have even worked out between us, because as you know, and I know you've worked with other guys too, it's sometimes hard to find somebody you can bounce ideas off of and keep it going. But luckily, I guess Mark Stone, we can say the name, right?
Sure, yeah.
He kind of saw through that and still gave me the opportunity to do it, which, you know, again, not to pick on D.A. Deadly at all, but I was kind of afraid that he would say no because of the whole, you know, team aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, unfortunately, he didn't do as well as he could have.
And if I remember correctly, because I do have a VHS copy of Endgame.
Yeah, as do I.
And I still have a VCR I can play it on, by the way. I'm going to toot my own horn on that. Beep, beep. If I remember, there was a rotating commentary.
There was.
Color commentary, because I did a couple matches that I know Chad Too Bad Allegra, a.k.a. Machine Gun Carl Anderson now.
Yeah,
did a couple
did.
Matches. Wes Bitterman did.
Mm-hmm.
And who else? Mark Stone did a couple too, didn't he?
I think he did in post-production. Because if you remember, we actually did it live. We did the commentary live, and I think, like, I did it with Justin Toxicated. That was the wrestler's name. I don't remember what the guy's name was. But
yeah. I remember.
Being that it was only the one show, I never really got a chance to know any of those guys.
Right.
But then, I don't know what it was, if Mark Stone didn't like the commentary or he needed to chop some stuff up, but we ended up laying the whole thing down in post-production afterwards, which is how you and I used to do it all the time for Ohio Championship Wrestling. But
oh, that's right, yeah, because Chad and Wes had to come up one night
from
Cincinnati. Yeah, I remember that, okay, yeah.
I mean, I don't have the completed Endgame. All I have was, like, the 5 or 6 matches we actually did in post at Mark Stone's house.
I think that's the same one.
So I don't even know if there was a completed copy.
I don't know. I do remember the other highlight from that was D.A. Deadly got to run sound.
Yes.
They need somebody to run sound. And Nigel McGuinness come up, and Nigel was supposed to wrestle. But he had gotten injured literally the weekend before. And he said, I'll just come up because you've advertised me, but I can't wrestle. My knee's banged up. And it was, he would bring somebody. So he brought Crypt. Remember Crypt versus Chet the Jet Jablonski, which was the equivalent.
Yeah.
It was the equivalent of, like, I don't even know, like a midget taking on King Kong. It was such a disparity in size. But I remember that the highlight for D.A. Deadly, I don't know how this show all of a sudden became all about him.
God,
he ain't even on the he's not even on the show, not even interested in coming on the show. Anyways, so he's running the R2 unit, as we used to call it. That was the big giant contraption we ran sound off of. And Nigel comes up and he's like, I don't have any music. I'm not even going to try to do a British accent. I don't have any music, so do you have anything? And Steve, luckily, had brought that giant crate of CDs of his. Because, I don't know, he thought that a rave was going to break out or something.
Yes.
I don't know.
Maybe.
and so D.A. Says, I have the Chemical Brothers. And Nigel marked out for that. He's like, that's fine. So he got to pick his, which was Block Rock and Beats, if I remember correctly. So that's what, that was D.A.'s big highlight, if you will, of the whole thing. Endgame.
It's the little things in life, you know?
Hey, whatever gets you through it.
But, yeah, I mean, I know you and Big White talked about it last. I mean, at the time, obviously, you don't think about it, but, you know, fast forward, we're at almost what, 12 years now, 13
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
And, you know, guys like Nigel McGuinness, Machine Gun Carl Anderson, Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin.
Sabin was there before. He literally left like a couple months before I started with the company. But yeah, so, he was coming
down. That's kind of neat to think about, you know, when I'm watching, you know, wrestling with some of my buddies and you. You know, we can say, hey, we worked with these guys. So that's kind of cool.
Jillian Hall, too. I just, since we're name dropping, because I worked a PWC show with her when she was still down in Cincinnati. And I think she worked Cindy, if I remember correctly, on a PWC show out in Newark one time. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, just a name drop, you know. And I think it's pretty obvious we all know who, you know, we both worked quite a bit with in her formative years. So Madison Rayne.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure. But, you know, I guess getting back to, we digressed a lot there. You know, and FIW did, quote, end game. That was the end of it right there, but you and I didn't know that at the time.
No.
And I know you got in with Jeff Cannon because he actually was working for FIW at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And just by happenstance, you know, you were doing a show, I believe it was at the Lakewood Intermediate Center.
That's right.
In Heath, mm-hmm. Ohio. And I went out to take a look, and all I remember about that show was there was a referee that looked like he literally got up out of a coffin. And put on a referee shirt and got in the ring. And I'm thinking, who in the hell is this guy that... I mean, I was afraid like he was held together with super glue or something, because he was an old-ass dude.
Was that Charlie?
It was Charlie.
It was Charlie. Now, Charlie, for a minute, I know Keith Smith is probably going, you motherfuckers. Yeah. That was not me, no. Nah, Keith, we love you. Charlie was this dude's... Kid Chaos was the wrestler. Kid Chaos's dad. And Charlie looked like a super burned out Cheech and Chong.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
Super burned out.
I attributed him to like the Crypt Keeper from where I was sitting anyway. I mean, granted, you know, there was only, you know, 150, 200 people there, but my God.
Remember the best advice he ever gave us?
Yeah, I can tell that story real quick. So, everybody knows, I mean... John, I guess, is lucky in the sense that he, as the ring announcer, doesn't really sit backstage. He's sitting out front, so I had the pleasure over the years to sit backstage with some of these clowns. And this guy in particular, we had just put down the ring mat over top of, and I guess we can talk, you know, over the padding and whatnot.
The canvas. We actually put the canvas
down.
Thank you.
There was blood stains on the canvas from some hardcore match that they did before. And I said something along the lines of, like, well, at least Jeff washed this before he put it down. And Charlie, in his infinite wisdom, pulled me aside and said, well, you know what? Once the AIDS hits the air, it's dead.
The mere fact he called it the AIDS, too.
And that's exactly how
hilarious.
And I just kind of took a couple steps back and said, well, that's great to know. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Dr. Charlie.
But, yeah, so I see this Crypt Keeper guy in the ring, and... I think I just shot Big Guns Jeff Cannon an email saying, hey, you got to be able to do better than that. I'd love to come out and be a referee for you. And that's kind of how it started.
But wait a minute. Was that before? Because I only missed one show ever in OCW. Because you filled in for me that one time. Was that that was before you started reffing?
I think so.
I think that was because I know you came out to the show to see it.
Yeah.
Because Hero wasn't that far, but then I think the next one, because it was, I had a family thing that I had already committed to, and there was absolutely no way to getting out of it, and it was the only show that I ever missed with OCW, and you filled in for me, and then I think you became a ref after that.
Yeah, I think you're right. That sounds about right. And, we just kind of, we've been with the company for so long that you and I kind of took it under our wing as far as the writing was concerned, because, I mean... And I know you've talked about it before with your other guests. I mean, Jeff Cannon is one of the best guys you'll ever meet.
Yes.
Wrestling aside, just in person, he's a great guy. And I think that that's been his downfall a lot in terms of wrestling. So a lot of the shows we were booking were just getting very drawn out and boring because it was the same stuff over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just couldn't tell a lot of these guys, you know what, I'm tired of using you because you're just not doing anything. So,
right. You
know, you and I... stepped up, and I'll give you all the credit. I would say it was more of a 70-30 kind of thing, you taking most of the pencil.
Well, my point, and you know, going back, because I remember the conversation we had, because I think we were driving home from a show, and I'm like, there's just some, you know, and I'm not going to pick on the guy, but Kid Chaos was a guy that just come out, and he looked like a rejected Hardy Boy. You know, he had shooter shoes, you know, Adidas shooting shooters, as they call them, just regular Adidas wrestling shoes. And he had the big baggy pants, but there was nothing about him that was really special. And I remember we talked about it for a long, long time, the entire car ride home, like, what potential you could have. And so, yeah, I went and talked to Jeff, and I was like, look, you know, I've had a little bit of experience doing this with Mark. You know, I think the three of us could come together and really come up with some great ideas. And that is basically how we started.
Right,
With that. And if you recall, the first person that we scared away, right?
I can think of a lot of people we scared away.
I'm pretty sure that Brandy Van Buren was the first that we scared away.
I figured that's who you were going to say.
Yeah, because Brandy Van Buren was a young lady. She was kind of a rat. I mean, we might as well just say it.
Sure.
I mean, she kind of had a thing for wrestlers, and she started coming around, and so we started using her as a valet with Wildcard Jack Diamond.
Yes.
But she was so annoying, like, constantly annoying and so high maintenance, and I remember Jeff got pissed because I think it was in Strasbourg where she went out there with, like, nothing but a thong underneath this very short skirt that every time she would, like, reach for anything, the skirt would come up and you'd see her butt cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not very good butt cheeks, by the way.
No, you could probably read Braille off of them with all the dimples.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I don't even remember how we, quote-unquote, scared her away.
You're right. I don't know, but I think because when he told everybody, like, okay, Jeff was like, John and Adam are going to take over the pencil, we're going to take over the book, she just quit. She quit the very next week, like, she never showed back up.
And I think that was to our credit. I mean, there's a lot of guys that started to get weeded out when approached by us and a non-confrontational way, just asking, so what is it about you that does A, B, and C, and they can't look you in the face and give you an answer? And it's like, oh yeah, I'm not really a wrestler. Okay.
Right, yeah, that was the thing. And you know, I don't want us to sound like we're the jerks here, because, we were willing to work with people. Like, you remember, you know, we sat down with lots of different people and said, hey, let's come up with something that we can use. And a fine example is the Beastmaster.
Mm-hmm.
He was really open to ideas, and because he just was a guy in tights that came out with a bear.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it. And I was like, what if we do something like crazy, like you're some type of, like, literally like the Beastmaster from that cheesy 80s movie. And he was all about it. He was like, that's great, man. And then I remember, like, he came in, he was like, oh, I'm getting a cape made with, like, a hood. And I was like, that's cool, dude, that'll work. And then he came in with that, he came in that one time, I got an axe. Okay.
Sweet.
That's awesome. That'll work. You know, and he worked with us, but there were a lot of guys that were like, I remember Urban Assault. Remember that great idea?
Yeah, and those guys quit.
Yeah, we had Loco Ono and, what was the other dude? Brian Payne. Yeah, they quit because I thought, I was like, come on, man, that would be a great gimmick to be like a... They were going to be the equivalent of, like, our Sergeant Slaughter and, you know, Don Cadoodle. They were going to be two military guys, and I thought it was a great gimmick, and they weren't down with that.
Yeah, and the guys that did actually put any kind of trust in us, I mean, they worked out. I think one of our greater victories was with Rick Carter.
Oh, yeah!
He started off as the Teen Station Rick Carter, which I thought was a decent gimmick.
Yeah.
So he was a guy that would come out to the boy band music and claim that, you know, that he was in a boy band and this and the other. That was a good gimmick. But I don't know if it was just he got older and boy bands kind of took a back seat, but then
pun intended. Yeah, I see what you did there.
Well, try to avoid that. But anyhow, he then started to just not do anything.
I
don't know, he came out one show, his entrance music was the heavy metal version of Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby. And I'm like, what the hell does that even represent?
Yeah,
because they have no idea. Like, all they considered themselves was guys that went in and wrestled. When they don't understand that people come to shows to see guys that aren't the pizza delivery guy, that aren't the paper boy, you know, that aren't the guy that work in the mailroom, or whatever it is that you do. You need to suspend reality and get people lost in the show. Well, these guys never did that. So I don't know why he started to show up and then start passing out roses to people in the crowd.
Mm-hmm. And then that was it. That was the Bachelor Richard Carter. Yeah. That was the brainchild of there.
Yeah, and it worked out really well. Yeah. And he teamed up with
Vic Montana.
And they were the single white males, which was a great gimmick.
Yeah, it was.
So, you know, I think for all of our... Granted, how many failures were there?
Oh,
really?
I was going to mention Dark Testament. That was a failure. That was all us. I mean, that was literally, that was going to be like a 3 or 4 show gimmick, and then that was it. It was Wrathchild, Sargon, and Leviticus. And, I mean, those guys were okay.
Brimstone, don't forget about
him. Oh, I forgot about Brimstone. He was the third member. He was the Buddy Roberts of the group. Or the
Yes.
Yeah, those guys, like, we'll just put the tag straps on them to transition them, right? Because I think they were coming off the Rootin' Tootin' Buckaroos, right? Or were they going on
them? Which, again,
was
a great gimmick. I always liked that gimmick.
Oh, I thought that gimmick was awesome. But
but the thing is, it goes back to what we were just talking about. Like, what can you do with it? So I thought the gimmick was fine, but you had 3 or 4 guys that could barely spell their name, let alone... talking to a microphone in front of a camera.
Remember the biggest snafu in OCW history?
Oh, yeah.
It was with the Dark Testament promo. We would tape promos, and Jeff had this big screen, so to be like we had a Titantron, we would show them, okay, on the Titantron, and we would tape them. So we go to tape Wrathchild, and he's like, oh, fuck. Or never mind. I was like, all right, cut. So then we just keep, you know, using the tape. We just tape, you know, promos. Finally got one. And so basically it was my job to help cue it up. So it was time for me to go, ladies and gentlemen, would you please turn your attention to the OCW big screen? I had accidentally rewound it too far. And I was completely mortified when you heard Wrathchild go, oh, let me tell you something. Oh, fuck.
Talk about breaking kayfabe. That's doesn't get any better than that.
Oh man, it's funny now, but I was absolutely mortified. Like I was like, Jeff is blowing a gasket right now. Like, he's throwing chairs in the back and like cussing and I don't think he was that. Was he that?
I don't think he knew about it at the time because it was during the show, so we were all in the back. I mean, we didn't see it. And then you came and told me about it, and I about lost it. Because I was there. I mean, I saw it happen, so it made it even better, because he just looked like a complete dope.
Now, speaking of which, I think we have to mention the other great Wrathchild story. We're doing commentary. Post-production, and I don't remember what the match was.
I just remember it was at Buckaroo's, the bar in Newark.
Oh, that was one of those shows that we were doing TV for. Oh, I hated that place. Oh, God. Anyways, more on that in a minute. And I remember that Wrathchild threw this absolutely awful hip toss. I don't know what happened in the match, but it looked bad. And Adam says, oh, there goes a hip toss. And then I think, didn't you reply with something that he went down in a heap?
Yeah.
And I go, well, wouldn't that make it the heap toss then?
Yeah. And it sure looked like it.
Oh, man, we couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
Buckaroos. You know what, not the tag team. But there was this country bar out in Newark called Buckaroos. And it was absolutely terrible. In the back, we would set up the ring in a gravel pit. Literally, a gravel pit. And we'd wrestle, and Jeff was always like, stay on the rubber mats, go into the ring. It's like, okay. And, oh, I remember Brandi Van Buren was on one of those shows.
Yeah.
And like, she was dropping trowel in front of everybody.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and that wasn't cool at all.
I need to make a note about dropping trowel, by the way, for another story later, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So, anywho.
It's not a good segue, I know.
I know the story you're going to tell. This is what makes this episode of the PVD cast awesome, because we know exactly what we're going to say, and I swear to God, there's no notes whatsoever in front of us. We're just winging this one. But Buckaroos was terrible, and then it was outdoors. It was terrible. And it sucked. And the people that were there to get drunk. And I don't mean, like, have a beer. I mean, they were the type of people that were there. It's Saturday night. We're going to go to Buckaroo's and get shit hammered. And that's not the type of crowd you want.
Right. And what you failed to mention was that in the back of this gravel pit, it was actually a rodeo pit.
Yeah. That's why it was all gravelly.
They could have a small rodeo in the back of this bar.
Yeah.
Because I remember our dressing room is, like, where the bulls would be. I'm like, what the hell are we doing here?
One of the more strange places I've changed clothes.
And I'll never forget, I reffed for that show, and I can recall at the end, I had rocks all embedded into my palm from counting on the mat, and people all keep bringing gravel from their boots into the ring. Yeah. So you'd hit the mat, and I just get rocks stuck into my palm.
And then I think they ended up screwing us on money.
Yeah, they tried to hold Jeff up for money or something.
Yeah, something, and we quit running there. Thank God.
Yeah, it was a bad.
I think that was before the Armory, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Then we started going to the Newark Armory, which is I've always liked the Newark Armory.
Yeah,
you know, I mean Hopewell and the Newark Armory. I know they're the two closest ones, but I've always liked those venues.
Yeah, and it seems, I mean, I wasn't behind booking the venues, but they always seemed to be very open to whatever it is that we were doing, because we didn't really wreck the joint like some other places.
No. Now, Cambridge, I always liked Cambridge, but the problem was, because remember Cambridge had the big, it was that big civic center kind of place that we used, the Park Pavilion. It was cool. The only problem was it was way too big.
Yeah, it was huge, and it was way out of the way for us.
Right. But it was cool because it had the dressing rooms underneath.
Yeah.
You came up the tunnel and came up and through. That was cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And even the Zanesville location that we used a couple times, I thought was a really good
location. Oh, yeah, the Zanesville. Yeah, Zanesville was always cool. Yeah, that was the Civic League Community Center was always cool.
And I was just telling somebody the other day about that, because that's a show that I think I worked. I don't know if I still worked with Sherman Tank at the time, but he wrestled Jon Moxley.
There you go.
So he's now a member of the Shield. So
I was
telling a friend of mine the other day that I got a chance to work with him. So I name drop whenever I can, you know.
Might as well, man. Go ahead and talk about the drop trial, because speaking of name dropping, I know where this is going, so go right ahead.
I know last week you told, or last podcast, whenever it is that those out there listen, you told the story of Mr. 8x10 and Hacksaw Jim Duggan almost killing the first three rows of our audience by smashing the glass, but... You know, when you're younger and you see these guys on television, I mean, they're, like I talked about a couple minutes ago, they're larger than life. And, you know, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, I can't honestly say I was ever a huge fan of him, but, I mean, you know him. And everybody that's been a fan knows who he is. And big guy, seemed real nice and everything. But talk about crashing your world back down to reality is, I come back, I don't know, I was helping set up something, and I go to the back locker room, I turn the corner, and who's sitting there but Jim Duggan? Getting changed and having no, if you want to say no couth, I don't know. Dude was completely bare-ass naked and not hiding a thing. So, to this day, I get to tell everybody that I unfortunately got to see Hacksaw Jim Duggan's penis. And that's something that I can take to the grave. I saw his 2x4. But it was quite the latter. Not that I, you know, have seen... a lot of Jim Duggan's penis in my day, but, you know.
But that was Strasburg. That was the auction center. That place, that was Strasburg.
No, actually, this was at,
Oh, was this in Coshocton?
This was in Coshocton, the first show that we did with him. Because we had him and,
JT Hogg.
And Zoltan was there.
Yeah, Zoltan and Wrathchild versus JT Hogg and Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Because we actually pulled, like, 400 for that show.
Yeah, we had, because people were real excited to see Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And then we brought him back at Strasburg the night he damn near killed me.
Yes.
And Sharkboy's kid.
Yes.
Because Sharkboy's kid was in the front row.
I do remember that, yeah.
And I don't think Sharkboy was real concerned about that, by the way.
No.
But he has always been, like, okay, the name dropping again. Sharky was always cool. Like, he was a very even keeled type of dude. He was never been out of shape. But I do remember my favorite story was we had Shark Boy in Coshocton, and we had this young lady who would show up to all of our shows, and she was quite heavy. Maybe borderline morbid obese.
Yes.
I don't know. And she was quite obnoxious. So she comes to the Sport Zone. And I remember your friend Chris was in from out of town. So Chris came out to the show. So it was me, you, and Chris in the car. And so we get there, and old Sharky's sitting there all by himself. Sans mask. So he doesn't have the mask on.
Right.
So he's just his ordinary self. So we sit down by him. We start talking and that. And that young lady starts coming over and just giving a bunch of harassment to you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Bah, 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 bah. Show was this, bah, bah. Where's Shark Boy? And we're like, we're sitting with him. And so she turns to Chris and Shark Boy and says, well, which one of you is Shark Boy? And Sharky throws Chris under the bus and goes, that's him right there. And he starts pointing at your friend Chris.
Yeah.
And Chris who was a trooper. He just rolled with it, and he was like, "Yep, that's right, that's me." Mm-hmm. And so just start playing off, and in the I'm trying so hard not to laugh. Were you laughing?
Yeah,
it was hilarious because this girl bought a hook, line, and sinker. Because Chris did not look anyways in the same physique as Shark Boy. You know what I mean?
No, and I'll never forget before he left. He took, like, his phone or whatever and went over to him. He's like, "Hey, ladies, you mind if I get a picture so I can put it up on sharkboy.com? and they totally bought it.
I remember that. Oh, that was hilarious.
I don't believe there is a sharkboy.com.
No, either. No, idiot marks. Anyways. you know what? Hey, can we go back real quick?
Yeah.
Way back to the beginning of the podcast, you were talking about 102, what was it, 102.1? 101.1? What was 101.5?
Yeah.
It was The Rock, WOBN.
Yeah.
Do you remember when yours truly was a little mischievous with the sex relationship call-in show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I used to call. I would call frequently and harass. There was these three girls that had this show. And I know you were outraged because it was kind of raunchy, to be honest with you.
Well, and that's the thing. When we had a really good professor there at the time, John Buckles, who retired from teaching and actually went to become a pastor at a church here in Westerville. And kind of when he left, the bottom dropped out of the program because there was really nobody there to monitor it. I mean, to his credit, he lived in Westerville so he could get the station. So he would, you know, every once in a while just kick it on and see what kids were doing to make sure none of that was going on. And yeah, it got, you know, you get a little old school when you hear that kind of stuff. And you're just like, man, you know, it's the easy way out.
Sure, it was. And it was on, like, Sunday nights at 10 o'clock, wasn't it, or something like that. But it was called, like, it was some sex and relationship show. And I remember I called in as Janitor Paul.
I remember that one. Yeah.
Janitor Paul was a little parody, if you will, of one of our favorite wrestling promoters, Paul Daniels. And I believe my whole question was that I was an elderly man with a very large beard, and I happened to get crabs in my beard. How would I get rid of them? And those idiots on that show were just like, they had no idea, like, what to say, but it was hilarious.
They were talking about, like, maybe you should just shave it. Like, they were totally thought you were serious.
Yeah, yeah.
First off, why would this old man just call this particular show and then reveal that he has crabs in his beard? But kids are stupid, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, clearly not the target demographic for that show.
No, not at all.
There was the other one that, by the way, Big White was the reason that I did this one, remember?
Yeah.
The F me where it stinks comment.
Yes.
Where I called in as a gay man, and I was going on and on about my relationship, and I go something about, and I love it when Raul just says, sometimes we argue, and then he goes, "I just want you to fuck me where it stinks." And then they go, "Oh, you can't say that on the radio." And then I was like, "Oh my god, it must have been this Chardonnay I've been drinking. I'm so sorry."
Yeah, they kept you on the phone.
Yeah, they didn't drop me. They continued to talk to me.
And you weren't prepared to keep going after
that. No, I wasn't. Because in that prank, I'm like, as soon as I say fuck me where it stinks, they're going to hang up on me.
Yep.
As soon as they did. And they didn't. And I was like, I don't know what to say. I wasn't planning for this.
No, yeah. I'll never forget that one.
That was a great one. And there was a third time. I don't know what the third one was.
I remember exactly what it was.
What was it?
I don't know if you read this or something, but that desperate men or something make a fake vagina by putting pancake mix into a Ziploc bag and microwaving it. So you called saying that you had tried this and it, like, burned you or something like that?
I do remember that because I'd read that online somewhere, and I'm like, that's fucking preposterous.
Yeah.
Like, it's $20 to go to the Lions Den and get a rubber vagina. Why would you even make up pancake batter, put it in a fucking Ziploc bag, and hump it? It doesn't even make any. It seems like it's more hassle than it's worth. Unless, as it was pointed out, I think, by one of our friends, well, yeah, but when you're done fucking it, you can just open it up and squeeze out some pancakes, and there you go.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's like having breakfast with the girl you just nailed.
Yeah, so I do remember that. I burned my junk, and they also had, like, no. Like, I remember she's like, "What do they make a vagina out of? Paper mache?" I remember that. Like, one of them said something about that, because I think. I do remember the prank, because I do remember now, because there's three girls, but two of them were only on the air when I called in that one.
Yeah.
And the other one come in and said something like, "What was that caller?" And they're like, "Some guy made a vagina out of pancake." Or she didn't reveal it. And the girl's like, what's he made it out of? Like, paper mache? And I was like...
Obviously, you weren't listening, so your advice means nothing at this point.
Yes. Oh, God. I have that on tape somewhere.
I'm sure that you do.
I do keep lots of my hijinks on file. What can I say? I don't know. All right, well, let's talk about the OCW 10th anniversary show. Because we were both there.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just ready to say something. I mean, you mentioned earlier about the Beastmaster. It was real cool to see Bub again, the Beastmaster. And by God, he had the tattoos on his head that he said he was going to. Now, if you've never seen this gentleman, you have to admit, to get a tattoo on your head, your skull, is you have to have a certain kind of mentality.
Sure.
Well, this guy had, he had like a dream catcher tattooed in the backside, like right in the middle of his forehead. And
no, back of his head.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, his forehead, sorry, yeah. On the back of his head. And I said something along the lines of...
Because on the forehead, that would just be fucking weird.
Yeah, really. You know? Yeah, exactly. And I asked him, I was like, hey, bud, that's a pretty sweet tattoo. What is that, a dream catcher? And like clockwork, he's like, yeah, he's like, and I think I'm going to get a panther on this side, and we'll get an eagle on the other side.
And that is an actual, like, great
that's
impression.
And sure enough, when I saw him this past weekend, that some bitch had a panther on his forehead, or on the side of his head. But he did not have the eagle. It was on some other kind of feline on the other side. I don't know if it was another panther. Maybe they fight each other. I don't know. But
for control of his eyes and nose.
Yeah, exactly. So it was good to see him again, and... it wasn't good to see some of the other guys. But,
well,
you know,
I mean, you know what? Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. You know, we're like a family. You know, we all have, you know, you all have an uncle or an aunt you can't stand or a cousin or two, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few guys I'm like, hey, it's good to see you, but I wasn't excited to see.
Sure.
You know, it was cool to see the new hotness Todd Richards back.
Yeah,
It was cool to see JoJo as well. JoJo Little came back for the Battle Royal and then was in that 8-man match. And by the way, how's your chest? Is your
You know, I'm actually still sore from that.
You're not kidding.
No, I got a... I refereed this 8-man match that John speaks of, and at the end, the babyface team decided it would be good to dismantle the referee, which is fine. I have no problem with that, but Dusty Dillinger dropped an elbow from the very top rope, and it hit me right above the pectoral muscle. So now I have a nice bruise there, and I'll have to show you. You know, that sounds gross. I'll have to show you later, but and
it's
I don't know. Oh yeah, and it's Jesus. Not pretty. And I don't know. He might have either like bruised a muscle or a rib or something, because even like when I take a deep breath, it hurts pretty bad. So he hit me pretty good, and I knew it at the time too. When he hit it, I folded up like a lawn chair.
I know. I felt bad for you, man.
It really hurt. And considering he wasn't even the biggest guy there, the other guys did whatever they did, and, you know, sure it hurts, but you're not walking away from something, you know, having trouble breathing, but he hit me pretty good.
Well, maybe we should also talk, too, that you've had many different roles in OCW, because you were Adam Michaels behind the scenes, because Adam Michaels is never on camera.
No, because even when we did the OCW DVDs, if I was ever having to be on camera, it was always just the back of me, if you remember.
Right, yeah, we shot some of those where there was just the back of you, because you were also Jeff Raymond, the referee,
yes,
who later became J. Raymond Huntley.
Yes.
Which my idea was, and I always had an idea that we could explain that, is that we could have had twins.
Yeah, I
could have. If you'd grown
that.
Like a goatee, you could have been Adam Michael Huntley, and that could have been like you two, you know what I mean? Like you two just didn't get along. You were the twin brothers that didn't get along, and there you go.
That's right.
Which would not have been as cool as if you remember the greatest twin story ever.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because.
I know exactly what you're going
to say. Yes. Jeff Cannon's second wife, Niecy, nice lady. She, one time, her family was up, and I think, did we go out to his house to do TV, or
probably.
I think we did, and her family was there, and I'll be damned if her little sister was not an absolute spinning image of her. And my idea, which it got shot down, but my idea was we should start doing like the evil twin gimmick, where because Niecy was the commissioner of OCW at the time, and I'm like, we should have an evil like twin, and she could like cause havoc, like booking crazy matches, and then we could go, Niecy, why'd you book this match? I don't know what you're talking about. I just got here. What do you mean? You know, and it would have been awesome, entertaining. And I think it got shot down because the sister didn't want to do it, right?
I don't know. I don't remember that part of it.
I thought that, like, Niecy and the sister didn't want to do it. Jeff was kind of, oh, that's fine. That's cool. You know, whatever.
And that's not the story I thought you were going to tell. I thought you were going to talk about another wrestler that we got to see this past weekend, Max Fahrenheit. I think you even mentioned last week about Eric Smalls. We had an idea of making Max Fahrenheit's evil twin be Eric Smalls, who is a dwarf. He's probably, what, 3-4 feet. And Max is not 3 or 4 feet, which would make it funny. And then he would have the name Zam, which is Max backwards.
So he would be, I forgot about Zam Fahrenheit.
Zam Fahrenheit. He would be his evil twin. He would look nothing like him. But it would be like the Dudley Boys almost.
Yeah, I forgot about Zam Fahrenheit.
Still, man, a good idea.
That would be an awesome idea.
Yeah. It would
be so good. I mean, man.
Yeah. Anywho, the 10th anniversary show, I was pleased as far as a member of the staff, and even as a fan. I didn't get to see as much of it as I'd like to. A lot of times, you know, I'll come out and then watch behind the announce table, but I didn't get a chance to do that, considering all the baby faces killed the crap out of me, so I couldn't really be seen anymore. But from what I did see, it was good. I mean, it seemed like the people were really involved in it. The matches, for the most part, had a pretty good quality to it, except for one or two matches.
Yeah. And I think overall it was just a great way to kind of give back to the fans. You know, and what I said in the ring there right before the main event was, you know, it truly was an honor to be part of something for 10 years. And if it wasn't for the fans, and I know it's very cliche, but truly, if it wasn't for the fans, I mean, you know, we have two dudes. We call them the super fans. That's their nicknames. They come everywhere. I mean, they for the last, 3-4 years, they are everywhere we are. Newark, Zanesville, Coshocton. They've come up to Rittman. I mean, these guys come everywhere. They just thoroughly love being part of OCW. Excuse me. And those guys, it's just awesome to see that, and it's awesome to give back to the fans and to give them a show that, you know, they deserve, so.
And it's funny, I was actually showing, if you remember, I wrestled those couple matches when I wrestled Bryce Bennett at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I was showing a couple people that not too long ago, and I noticed the super fans were in the front row there. And that was 2006 or 7?
No, yeah?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, be damned. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who were you showing? You have those on DVD?
Yeah, I had the two matches because I worked the tag. It was Vance Desmond and myself versus Jason Thunder and Bryce Bennett, which set up that match between me and Bryce. So we,
jerked
the curtain in Newark one time. I don't even remember. I think it was in like a June or some summertime show.
Yeah. I remember that. I didn't know those were on DVDs.
I have them. Yes.
Are they on one of the best of?
No. Jeff had just made me a DVD of those two particular matches. Right. So.
Okay, gotcha. All right, cool. Yeah, I thought that overall it was great. The 10th anniversary show is good. I mean, obviously, you know, those folks that were there, they heard the Jeff Mandel speech at the beginning. Because, you know, one of the things I didn't talk about on this podcast was that there were some questions as to what was going to be the future of OCW. And I don't think anybody really knew, including Jeff, until the show happened. And so, you know, I think that overall we realized that the fans still want us to come back. They still want us to do shows. And so, you know, I think that the future looks bright for us.
And it's funny. We didn't script anything. I will go out on a limb and say I completely disagree with you.
Really?
Yeah, I think that, and I could be totally off base, that Jeff pretty much had every intention of saying, it's done, but he got so much pressure from everybody, I don't think he was going to go out there and say, you know what, this is the last show, because I think it would cause too much emotion, and if it was going as well as we thought it was, and he was going to say, you know, we're just getting started, I don't think Jeff would have been as emotional as he was.
Okay.
So, honestly, I think, and hope I'm wrong, I don't think that it's going to happen anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, again, and again, totally going off the cuff, I have not talked to Jeff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like we know anything there.
No.
Okay. All right.
That's just my
feeling. We shall agree to disagree.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's just the feeling that I got from it.
Gotcha. Anyways, any other fascinating stories I'm trying to think of? I mean, we've had some near-death experiences on the road. You know, hitting that deer almost in Strasburg one time.
Yeah.
The time that I was sick as a dog and ended up driving back from Kajaya, then like in a fucking monsoon of some sort that I fell asleep in and you almost wrecked your truck.
Yeah, I remember that. I forgot about that one.
Because that was right out here on 161.
Yeah, that's when they were doing all the construction. And I guess, yeah, there was like a monsoon, but there was like a big puddle, you know, and the guy in front of me just decided he was going to go slow through that puddle as opposed to going 45, 50 miles an hour through it. And luckily that didn't happen. But yeah, was that the show that we went out and celebrated the night before, like a birthday or something? Was that the one in Zanesville where you were asleep? You remember that one?
Yeah, but no, that one was hungover as all get out. That one, so you could say it.
Well,
I was
why were
hungover.
You hungover? I don't remember.
Because the night before was my birthday, and we all went
out.
Oh,
yeah.
Because remember, that was the that's a great wrestling story, because remember, we went to the place called Caribbean Jerks, and
yeah.
I had way too many.
Oh, yeah.
And on the TV, they had ESPN Classics, and AW Wrestling came on, and I remember, and everybody gave me flack for it, because again, I was under the influence, I don't know what I was doing, I was trying to convince the waitress that Colonel the Beards was the greatest gimmick ever, because,
I'm sure
like,
she cared.
Yeah, like, she's like a 19-year-old waitress that has no clue, and could care a lot, like, she doesn't even fucking know what apartheid was, first of all, she's
right.
Like, I don't know what you're saying, sir. Why am I looking at this guy in camo pants? I'm like, he's the greatest gimmick ever. He's a colonel. He hates black people and anyone that's different and that. Sir, would you like another beer? Yes, I would. And yeah, that was pretty
I knew it was bad when I got here to pick you up. And I don't know if you just...
I was supposed to drive, too. That was the bad part.
You had just eaten cereal or something, and you just looked at me like, oh, shit, here it comes. And you went, and it came up for a vote. And I was like, oh, that's going to be a long day.
Yeah, I pulled the superstar card. I'm going to sleep in your car. Go ahead and set up.
You slept in my car.
No, I was talking about, we went to go do TV, and I was sick with like a sinus infection or something. I was really, really sick because I blew my nose like a million times during the broadcast. And I slept in your truck on the way home. That was the one I was talking about where I had the accident. Then we also had the infamous Strasburg episode where Todd Richards mooned Papa Smurf out of my car.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I do remember that. Papa Smurf was a little miffed about that because his kids were in the car.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to see Todd Richards' big bare ass hanging out of my car window.
Big hairy ass.
Yeah. I can't remember any other. I think that's it for road trip. I mean, well, then you had the one where you had the eye.
Because
Bryce poked you in the eye.
Poked me in the damn eye because he forgot the move. Yeah, we were practicing and... That was when I was doing more training with Jeff, and I remember it was supposed to be like a duck under, and I went to duck, and he just like stuck his hand out, like to throw a clothesline or something, or I forget what it was, but yeah, his thumb ended up poking me in the eye, and my contact fell out, and I never did find it.
Yeah, you had to drive home with one eye.
Drive 90 miles home with one
eye. Because I came out for some odd reason.
Because you did TV after.
We did
training.
TV afterwards, that's right, and then you had to follow me. Yeah, and then we almost hit deers that night, too, because I remember I hit the brakes on my truck, because I still have my truck then, and you were like,
That's right, you did still have that truck.
No, I did still have that truck. That truck was awesome.
When you were talking about drunken with the waitress, not a wrestling story, I just remember the time when I was at Winking Lizard with you here in Worthington, and I'll be honest, I was going through a very difficult time in my life, so alcohol played a role in a lot of outings, and... I couldn't even tell you what I was talking about, but I remember trying to get the waitress to do a lot of the same things you were talking about. She was foreign, I believe.
Yes, she was a foreign girl. She was here. Yeah, she was from Poland. She was over here studying at OSU.
Economics, I remember
economics.
That.
Economics. I remember, first of all, you had played softball and then went drinking afterwards.
Yep.
And how you drove from Delaware to Worthington was beyond me.
I don't know.
Because you were a wreck when you hit the door. And I think
don't drink and drive, everybody.
Yeah, because didn't D.A. Dedley and I take you home?
No, I think I drove home.
Did you?
I don't know. I mean, it's been a long... I mean,
I think we may have taken you
six,
home. I don't know.
I was six, so yeah, I mean, it was...
Come on, Margaret. Give me a...
Margaret.
That was her name, because that was the infamous Howard Dean Chappelle Show skit.
And there was another time we were there.
Connie!
Yeah, because we were going to see Jackass 1 or 2.
Yeah,
and,
two.
Oh, God, I was just... Slammed.
Because we got drunk before we went.
Yes.
To the theater. See, we're totally ruining kayfabe. Every listener thinks. I bet there's a bunch of people right now that came out to the show.
A bunch of people, huh?
Yeah, a bunch of people probably came out to the show because I don't know if you saw during the autograph session when I was stuck next to Takahashi and Sassy Steffi. I was signing all those things. I kept putting my Twitter handle.
Yeah.
So maybe I get new Twitter followers.
Did you get any?
Yeah, a couple.
Okay, well, good.
But I don't know if they are the same people. I don't remember. You know, but there's probably some people going, "Wow, they seem like such nice guys, but they're just complete morons. They're drunk all the time." And
see, I don't know. I guess you could get that from these stories. But if anybody that's been around us, they know that we're probably the two most level-headed.
Yeah, I mean, because there are I know there have been lots of crazy evenings that have just gone absolutely sideways, like you wouldn't believe, in our many years of going up and down the road.
And a memory that sticks out to me was the one, and I underline one, PWC show that I did, was down in Crooksville. And I did commentary down in Crooksville.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to call it that, it was a complete train wreck because they didn't know what the F they were doing, but neither here nor there. We stopped in Kirkersville at, like, the Country Market restaurant or whatever.
It's in the Flying J.
Yeah, and there was, like, 15 of us in there. And those guys were being so loud and obnoxious. Like, I was actually embarrassed to be a part of that.
Well, now, and you know, my last guest was one of them because Big White was in there.
Yeah.
Because he kept doing the Colonelangus.
Colonelangus. Yeah, I was like, dude, you realize what that means.
Yeah,
and there's people.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not the only ones in there. It's
but they weren't even drunk yet.
No,
that was the scary part, man.
All I could think of was, please God, I just want to go home. It was, you know, I guess I was never really fit to be a part of the pro wrestling crowd as far as
the
boys
partying,
in the back.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, I guess I could say I held my own, but.
Well, now I will tell you this though. I forgot to mention this at the Big White. He booked me on one of my best and most favorite shows ever. Jello Wrestling at Adobe Gila's.
I remember that.
Because he called me. He's like, hey, man, I double booked myself, and I am not going to be able to do this gig. I need somebody to be over there. I'm like, Big White, I'm not a DJ. He goes, I don't care. I'll have a DJ over there. I just need a master of ceremonies. I'm like, sweet. I will go over there. Hands down. And it was amazing.
You made like 50 bills or something, too, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah. Big White takes care of you.
That's the best payoff you ever
had. Yeah. Well, next to Bobby Fulton.
That piece of shit.
Oh, we just we're almost an hour, but Bobby Fulton
and I haven't thrown out a lot of customers, but that guy might be the biggest piece of shit I've ever met in professional wrestling. And there's a lot of pieces of shit out there. I don't know if I put him ahead of the PWC guys, but he's up there. He's one of those guys that I would give him all the credit in the world. He had a great career. But he thinks he's still something special.
Yeah, and it was heartbreaking for me because, here's the thing. Jeff had worked with him and called me one time to work at a summer show, like a fair show out in Urbana for Bobby Fulton. I was like, cool. And I went out because I was a big fan of the Fantastics. I was a big Mark, Tommy Rogers, Bobby Fulton. I went out. He was incredibly nice and easygoing and everything. Then the next time I worked for him, complete dick. I mean, just complete dick that, I mean, Dick, because he was always telling me how to do my job, and I always felt like, okay, if you have faith that someone recommended me to do a job, to do your job, then let me do the job. Don't tell me how to do it. Don't criticize me as I'm doing it, you know? And so I know that he got you and I to come down to Circleville to do TV, because he was doing this TV show for his stuff.
Right, and be honest, I remember Jeff telling me, called me and said, you know, and you could either be a ref, or you could do this TV thing, and obviously TV and commentary has been my passion, so I was like, heck yeah, I'll do the TV stuff. And I can even remember when we were done, the crew that filmed it even told us, man, you guys were really good, you know, for not being quote-unquote professionals. I mean, you guys really knew what you were doing. And I didn't know, did I take over your story? Sorry.
No, go ahead, that's fine.
So we go in the back, and Dickus McGee, Bobby Fulton, he's handing out the paydays, and if you've ever, most people I know listening to this probably have not been in a payday for wrestling, but most of the time, they'll come find you, and they'll give you your money, and that'll be it. This guy, it was like being in a bread line. It was.
Because
we all had to freaking line up. Yeah, we all line up, and you go and stand in front of him, and he asks you, like, what you did. And he looks at me, and he's like, well, what do I owe you? And I'm like, well, I did the TV show. He's like, oh, man, that TV thing, that wasn't my gig. So I'm not going to give you anything. And I was like, what are you talking about? And like, I was supposed to come down here to ref. You told me not to ref and to do the TV thing. So finally, begrudgingly, like he was doing me a favor, he gave me $10.
And here's the sad part. We got out into your truck, and the dude paid me the largest payday I've ever had, which I will go on record. I've said many times before, I didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
I mean, to hold a mic and just do what I do, he paid me like $50. And I was like, that was, and I gave you half of it, because I was like, that's ridiculous that he's going to... Huh?
I said, I don't even remember. Did I take it?
I think so, or I, yeah, I think not. So. No. I don't remember.
Oh, you
maybe. Don't worry about it. So, yeah, but I was just pissed about that. And then I worked for him one more time, in which I had finally had enough when the show went 3 hours. And that's a typical indie show. Three hours.
Sure.
But he was pissed that I didn't, quote, keep up the pace of things. I'm like, well, first of all, if you knew how to book a show, because the one thing that he did that caused a big delay was he and Abdullah the Butcher wrestled, and they had a goddamn anything-goes brutality fest, and they broke glass in the ring, and we had to clean it up. Keith Smith and I had to clean it up. And I remember that Pat Tanaka was the next guy to come out, and he wrestles barefoot still now, and I'm like, how's this dude going to wrestle in this glass-infested ring? I was like, dude, if you're going to do that, book that as the last match.
Exactly.
Or book it before intermission or something like that. No, he's got it like as the seventh match. And then it's my fault that we went 3 hours. And I'm like, dude, it's a typical indie show to go 3 hours. But I was pissed about that. I was like, I'm never working for him again.
And I know I never did work for him again. And no. I remember I was managing Vance Desmond, and he actually worked a show. Bobby Fulton, that is, worked a show for Jeff Cannon.
But it was the very next night of that Zanesville show. Was it? His was a Friday night, yeah, because I drove down there, and then he worked Saturday night, because that's when he did the Sheik of Araby thing.
Okay, and I remember Vance was a great guy, a very nice guy. Went up to him, you know, introduced himself, and said, you know, what do you want to do for the match tonight? And Bobby Fulton looks him in the face and says, well, we're going to do whatever the hell I tell you to do. Okay.
Yeah.
Dick.
Yeah, that's not cool at all, you know?
Yeah, so... Yeah. That's when I had it with him. I'm just like, you know what?
I do remember, though, he had no music, and he was doing this masked Sheik gimmick.
Right? Yeah.
The Sheik of Araby, which I was so pissed off that there actually was a place called Araby, because I remember looking that shit up going, this ignorant redneck doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. It's Arabia. Oh, yeah, no, never mind.
There was Araby.
But I remember he didn't bring any music. And Jeff's like, can you find some music? Oh, I'll find some music. And I remember we had some, like, death metal. It was, I don't remember what it was. Mastodon. And I'm like, that's it. He's coming out to that. I don't care. Which makes no sense whatsoever. Why would an Islamic masked sheik come out to death metal?
Yeah, and I remember Jeff was all worried about it the whole show because we said that. Oh, we'll find him some music. He's like, guys, don't give him any crap. I mean, I'm like, I don't know if Jeff was afraid of him or what, but...
Yeah.
God,
well, he knew I was pissed because I told him. I told him after the show in Zanesville, because it was in Zanesville that Friday night. I was like, he's like, are you cool? I'm like, yeah, we're cool. We're cool. And I just walked out the door, right? And I just told him. I think I ended up calling him this Saturday morning. It was just like, man, I just didn't appreciate the way I was treated.
Yeah.
You know, that's not cool. But anywho, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I've worked... I don't know, I think you probably have worked for a few more guys than I did, but, I mean, over the years, we've worked a lot of the same companies. I mean, even we can throw Northern Wrestling Federation in there. Those guys always treated us really well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Roger Ruffin, a lot of respect to that man, and I've always said that because he was always very nice to work with, and, you know, when he would come up to FIW, and it was the first few weeks I even had the pencil... I mean, by all intents and purposes, that's a dude that should never have listened to me. That was a dude that should have had the attitude of, fuck you, kid, you don't know what you're doing, I'm going to do what I want. Never did that. Actually, it was very nice. Okay, John, sure. Mm-hmm. So what does he want for a finish? I mean, incredibly
I remember one time we booked him and Chad Too Bad with Wes Bitterman on one of our shows, and we put them both over. And I remember Wes pulling us aside afterwards saying, you guys shouldn't have done that. And yeah. I remember our thinking was, well, you guys are actual wrestlers, and you're going against some of our
guys.
Yeah,
and it was out of respect. Yeah, it was out of respect. That's all it was. And, I mean, Wes did make a valid point about it, but from our vantage point, it was, this is a respect thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, I mean, that was, those guys were awesome to work for. I remember one of your best lines. Muldoon is maybe an intellectual giant as well as a physical giant.
Yeah, I wish we could have worked more for those guys, because one thing I always liked about them is they always had their shit together. Like, you'd go down, they would tell you what you were going to do, and that's what you did. You know, it wasn't like, well, we're going to just do this and we'll figure. No, I mean, they told you exactly what they wanted from you.
Oh, yeah.
How long it was going to go, what they wanted you to, not even what you wanted you to say, but I need you to mention this, this, and this. And it's like, okay, great.
Oh, yeah, they were always on top of it. And still, I imagine they still are today.
Yeah,
you know? I mean,
yeah. It would be nice to see those guys again.
Yeah, I haven't seen them in a while. But anywho, with that being said, it's an hour now that we have been rambling on and on.
It's sad because I feel like we could do it a lot longer. But
well, you can always come back.
I'll definitely have to
come back and explain more silliness.
Yes,
from the world of wrestling, and maybe even silliness from showing up and harassing waitresses.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That seems to be a theme with us, doesn't
theme.
It? It's a theme,
yikes.
All right.
Yes.
Anywho, all right, well, I'm going to close up, as I do every single show, by mentioning where you can get a hold of me, at PVDMVP. That's where you can get me on Twitter. And don't forget, you can shoot me an email at PVDcast. Excuse me, I messed that up.
Sorry, man.
We've done so well just winging it, and now I'm going to screw it up in the last minute or so. Anyways, at PVDMVP, that's where you can get a hold of me at Twitter on Twitter, and then PVDcast@mail.com if you want to shoot an email. And I think it's time for Orlando's faves, and I only have one this week, and it is Boston College. Why, you ask, Boston College? Because at the shoot job, we're doing a little Frozen Four tournament action. Because let's be honest, that's harder to do than the stupid 64 basketball teams. But I digress. I'm picking Boston College to go all the way. Win the NCAA Ice Hockey Men's Championship. It starts this weekend. We'll see if I'm right or wrong.
Best of luck to you. What's in it for you?
Bragging rights.
Ah, well.
Bragging rights.
And the payday that Bobby Fulton owes you.
Anyways, well, Adam, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
All right, we'll definitely have to do this again.
Absolutely.
So, all right, thanks, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate you listening, and I'll talk at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening.